Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today, I have photographer Elena Boss on. She's a Chicago photographer and she established her business in 2010. And we were connected through one of my good friends, Dina, who is a volunteer and on the board for the Kevin J. Lederer Life Foundation. It's KJL Life Foundation and their website is lifefindsaway.org. And I'll actually be interviewing in a few weeks the founder, Eve, so she can talk more in depth about the actual non-for-profit and the organization and everything that they do. But Elena was part of a photo shoot highlighting women of infertility and showcasing their stories. It was recently on WGN TV. They did a piece and showcase, so this is kind of perfect timing having you here at WGN Radio. But I want to welcome you and thank you so much for coming and taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Good. I can't wait. I wanted to hear. I was so moved by this project and I wanted you to be able to share a little more information about it and exactly your role in this, piece and the photography and the images that you captured with these women. So if you can tell us about it, that would be awesome.
Okay. Well, in last September, I went to a photography conference, mm-hmm. and it was out in Arizona, and it was a lot of the conference focused on doing personal work to keep us inspired and in love with our craft.
So, oh, I love that. That's awesome.
For a long time, I had thought to myself, I want to do like this face of endometriosis project because I was diagnosed with endometriosis
okay.
in 2014
mm-hmm.
And PCOS.
Okay.
So I was going through some things on my own, kind of not in a place where I felt ready to talk about it and share it with people,
mm-hmm.
Feeling betrayed by my own body and just, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but
yeah.
I was just struggling with it.
A lot of different emotions, I'm
so
sure.
So here it is, 2019.
Yeah.
And it was September of 18 when I went to the conference, but I had a really awesome roommate named Michelle, who is a great friend of mine, and I told her about my project idea, and then we just were bouncing ideas off of each other, and I was like, okay, I'm going to encompass all aspects of infertility. So I just decided that I was going to do this personal project and I was going to photograph women struggling with infertility and turn it into a book.
That's amazing. So this was all your idea. This was your
yeah.
creation.
Yes.
your baby, your project.
Yes.
That's incredible. That's a great way. I think sometimes when we're struggling with things and we have these emotions around it, to be able to kind of highlight and showcase, those emotions and the struggles and through your art of photography is amazing, but you're kind of putting it more on display to be able to kind of deal with
right.
the emotional journey you're going through.
So for me, I was always in this place where I wasn't feeling like I was ready to share. And mm-hmm. finally, 5 years later, I got to this point where I thought, you know what, this is me, this is who I am. Just because I've had these issues doesn't make me any less beautiful, doesn't make me any less feminine. And
right.
this shouldn't be a taboo topic to talk about. I think this is a conversation that needs to be had. And I just really wanted to give the experience to women to be photographed and to feel beautiful and to realize that they're not alone. And in part with that, creating the book of images and also little snippets of their stories, it can be really emotional, like you said.
Absolutely.
So I totally just wanted to keep it like positive. And while it is heavy stuff to deal with, I just wanted women to feel less alone and more supported, mm-hmm. and just like they, you know, have this little sisterhood of women,
of other
couples,
women going through the same thing.
Going through the same thing.
I mean, I absolutely love that. The, you know, I feel like there's, I don't want to say this, and Dina and I were kind of talking about this a little bit, but this shame almost around the topic.
Totally.
You know, and I think promoting it and sharing stories, which you have to be at that comfort level. I mean, like you said, you know, you were struggling with this for about 5 years before you felt comfortable sharing your story. And it's definitely a journey. But I think when you're able to do that and come together, more people are willing to be open to talk about it and be able to kind of create that sisterhood and support group for each other.
Right.
You know, and the more information and knowledge people have about it, the more aware they are, they know that this is something, a real thing that a lot of people struggle with.
Right. It was something that I, when I got to the point where I wasn't ashamed anymore, mm-hmm. I thought infertility is a word that like needs to lose. It seemed like a dirty word.
I'm like, there is no shame.
Yeah, it seemed like a dirty word to me, like personally. And I thought it shouldn't be.
Right.
Like, this is something that a lot of people deal with. And this is something that we should be talking about more often. And just to find like support within our, you know, communities and with our friends. I think a lot
Absolutely.
Of people have had issues that friends of each other's didn't even know what was
going
on at the time.
They don't even know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many people that I know, friends, family, you know, that have dealt with this and on many different levels too.
Right.
Some can be a little bit more difficult or extreme and have had to go through the process a lot longer or multiple times.
Right.
Whereas some people, it might have been something a little simpler and, you know, they went through the process and everything turned out, you know, great. Everybody's very individual. Everyone's body is different. But it is something that you don't have control over. And there's no, you know, when I hear that people feel kind of bad about it or not comfortable talking about it, it's like, well, you didn't do anything wrong. You know, this isn't something you had control of, but there are so many, you know, me not having gone through the situation, personally, I understand that and have learned that there is that kind of stigma.
Right.
You know, when I think it's something that we need to be able to embrace and help support people going through this, because it has to be emotionally difficult for the person going through it.
Definitely. I definitely wanted to help to break that stigma and to kind of just destroy that stigma and just allow people the space to feel comfortable talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I actually struggled with when I first came up with the idea for the project was, so I was diagnosed with endometriosis and the PCOS, and mm-hmm. I had...
And what exactly is PCOS? I want,
polycystic,
if you don't mind sharing.
Ovarian
okay.
syndrome.
Okay.
So that, it can mean a lot of different things. Some people can just have polycystic ovaries, but not have the syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But typically what results from that is not ovulating regularly.
Okay.
And having a lot of cysts on your ovaries, and you can have like scar tissue and lesions and stuff like that. So it makes conceiving pretty difficult.
Okay.
So what I struggled with, a little bit of imposter syndrome in the beginning, was the fact mm-hmm. that I had surgery and I had an amazing doctor in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Lee just took such great care of me, and I had pretty extensive endometriosis. It was on my bladder, bowel, appendix, both ovaries, outside of my uterus.
And that's painful, isn't it?
Well, the thing that's weird about endometriosis is that the symptoms can be different for people. So I actually wasn't super symptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
I started getting cysts, and that was what kind of led me to think I had something going on, but I didn't really know. So other than like heavier periods, that was sort of all that I really had. Like, I was lucky. I didn't have really terrible symptoms. But then when he went in and looked, he was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm surprised you actually even came in to see me because you're really not that symptomatic. But
but this is what's going on.
It was all over. Mm-hmm. So I was really lucky he was able to get all of it with the surgery. And then I was on like birth control therapy. He didn't want me having a period or ovulating for a certain amount of time. He just wanted things to like heal relax.
Up. Okay.
And then I was what I consider to be a lucky one. I started doing acupuncture and taking Chinese herbs.
I swear by acupuncture.
That's
just
how
saying.
I conceived.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
So I tell everyone that my acupuncturist got me pregnant.
That's amazing. You know what, though? That's great to hear. I mean, I'm and on this podcast too, like holistic health is something that I like to focus on.
Yeah.
But acupuncture is amazing and has helped people with so many different ailments. And I mean, that's incredible to hear that.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, even, you know, pregnancy is something that, you know, it can,
yeah,
it
totally
can help
got
with.
Me ovulating.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you do have, you have one child?
I have one little boy. He's
okay.
going to be 3 in June.
Oh my gosh.
He's very
so
sweet.
Amazing.
So I consider myself to be very lucky, and he's my little mitzvah miracle baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it goes to show there are so, you know, it's good talking about this because who would have known? I mean, just sharing that, like, there's so many different alternatives and things that can work for people. Not everything, you know, the same works for every individual. Everybody's different, but acupuncture could be a great resource that somebody never thought about.
Yeah, it was great. And I think that what I struggled with in the beginning was I thought when I started collecting stories and women were like willing to share with me, I felt like, oh my gosh, like, am I really the person who that should be telling this story? Because I feel like I had it easy. but what I came to realize was that everybody's journey is different. And
absolutely.
My story is still relevant.
Absolutely.
Even though it's different than several of the women who I photograph. So,
but I feel like you have that tool and you have that artistic passion and you are able to share this story in a completely different light. And I think just the fact that, you know, I think we think about that sometimes is, it was my struggle hard enough or was my, you know, to be able to speak on this and share it, but you're putting a voice and starting a conversation out there to this topic and shedding light on it. So absolutely.
Right.
You know, that's it's so important. So how did you select these women? How did you figure out how many women you wanted, how you wanted to go about it, how you wanted to share their stories? Tell us a little bit more about the project.
Okay. So for the project, my goal was to photograph 50 women.
Okay.
And I wasn't really sure how the idea would be received initially. And I put a call out on Facebook, Instagram, just social media, and said, would you be willing to be photographed and share your story with others so that, you know, women can feel supported and less alone? And I had like a crazy response. I was so overwhelmed with gratitude. I just was like, wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So basically, I had 4 different dates of shoots coordinated.
Okay.
And I had a lot of people that helped me. I had hair and makeup artists that came and helped me, and they like zhuzhed the ladies up and did little like makeup touch ups.
Yeah.
And I had some community partners who like donated to a little gift bag that I gave the women. So whoever basically wanted to do it and responded to me and followed through with all the communication was who I photographed.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, and such a way to celebrate these women and like allow them to feel pampered and to feel good and confident and share that story. Like that had to be such an amazing time and day for them as well.
I think it really was. And people stayed and hung out and talked with each other and connected. And so now I have like a little Facebook group that's just for the participants, like in addition to our page. So people go in there and it'll type and kind of communicate here and there with each other still. So it's really cool.
So it's like, look at what you've created.
Yeah, it's just so much bigger than I ever could have imagined and so much bigger than myself. I never thought, like, when I had this little idea for, like, a little inspirational, like, personal photo project that it would turn into what it has. Like, look, I'm sitting here having a conversation with you.
But it's, you know, it's fun. And as you say that, like, I never would have imagined that I would be here doing a podcast. You know, it's when you have these ideas and you want to be able to, you know, I think when there's a mission of wanting to be able to help others, you know, that's kind of a common theme. You know, one person can make a huge difference. And it's like, look at this now. Like, now there's this support group of people. So many more people understand the struggle and, you know, can hear the stories of these women. And I mean, you were able to basically collaborate with a non-for-profit and help them, you know, raise money and fundraise also, you know. So it's like, I feel like these things, you know, they're right when these amazing things come out of them.
Totally. Yeah. And that's what I'm really excited about, too. So I'm my next step. I've kind of been doing a little PR.
Yeah, absolutely.
And doing some podcasts. And like you said, the WGN TV feature, which was amazing. So just doing a little bit of that. And then now I'm going to be working on actually compiling and curating the book. And my goal is to have it to print like by the end of the year, but I think I can do it sooner, but I'm just giving myself a little leeway.
I love that.
Yeah.
So how did the collaboration work with the foundation, the KJL Life Foundation?
So for the Life Foundation, I just decided that I wanted to give like 10% of the proceeds of the book to a nonprofit organization that had to do with infertility. And I really like the Life Foundation because they actually provide financial support for couples who are struggling to conceive that want to try and pursue IVF and, you know, fertility
options.
Yeah. So I just talked to Dina and I was like, I think I just want to give like 10% of the profit to Life Foundation. So she was pretty stoked about that.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah. And I mean, it is, you know, it. And that's the one thing I do know is that it's a big financial undertaking when
it is. Even
you know,
like in Illinois, we're really lucky because we have fertility coverage. But in, you know, most states, there isn't fertility coverage. But I think what people don't really realize is even though there is fertility coverage here, it is still,
it's still so expensive. Yep. That's right. There's all extra costs and things that
just the drugs
go along
and
with it. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the actual book will hopefully be in print in the next few months, we'll say.
Yes.
And so where can people go to be able to, like, or do you have like a pre-purchase list or what are you guys doing for that?
Right now we have a website that was created and that is faceofinfertility.elenaboss.com.
Okay.
And what you can do is you can go there and there's a little sign up box for our newsletter. And so I'm going to, because there's some events that I'm going to and I'm going to be photographing at and having some displays of the women's photos and things like that. So just for people to stay in the loop and in the know and know what's going on. And I will, through that, send out when it's time to,
the
like, pre-order
purchase.
And purchase. Yeah.
Perfect. And Elena Boss, it's A-L-A-I-N-A and B-O-S.
Correct.
One S. Okay.
Yes,
I love it. I'm like, I love it. Like a boss. It's awesome. So I do want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about how did you start your career in photography? What's your background?
So my background is kind of interesting. I went to college for speech and language pathology.
Okay.
So I actually am a practicing speech therapist.
Awesome.
So I went to grad school for that. And I've just always kind of been a creative person, though. I'm left-handed. I did like ceramics and art and stuff in high school and in college. And when I was actually engaged and planning our own wedding was when I started to really get interested in photography because I was looking for
a photographer,
a wedding photographer. So I just started taking a bunch of classes and doing all kinds of reading. My husband bought me my first camera that was used. And it kind of just spiraled from there. I started like taking photos of friends' kids, and then I did some weddings, and then I've been focusing more on portraiture now. So I'm basically self-taught.
That's amazing. But you obviously had like such a passion for it.
Yes, I was so addicted to just learning all I could about how to shoot and what equipment to get and how to just get good at shooting in manual and, you know, not like in auto mode and just actually learning all the ins and outs of photography. So
that's incredible.
I'm kind of a nerd.
But you love your craft. I mean, that's like the best person. You want to be super passionate and nerd out on, your hobby, your profession. I mean, that's when people are drawn to others that obviously love what they do, because you can see how much, you know, you can see that fire inside them, and you know that you're, you know, having somebody excited, being able to take your photos or really want to get like the best product for that person.
For sure.
Is what you want.
Yeah. It's so much fun for me too, especially since I've been like in the studio shooting portraits, because like I photograph like women and the people they love, right? And so I just love to bring them in, and I bring in hair and makeup and zhuzh them up, and we do a styling consultation and like hair and makeup and fashion. Like, yes, please.
Oh, it's you know, you're talking to a makeup artist of 18 years. It's
like, so I just love
it's
that.
It's amazing.
Stuff.
Of course.
It's so fun for me. And then to be able to photograph women and make them feel beautiful and, you know, like they're seeing the best photos they've ever seen of themselves.
Yes.
So that they can use those for either just for themselves or for their children to have one day, or for personal branding and headshot photos. It's just been really a fun journey.
That's awesome. I should talk to you about that, get some updated headshots.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can relate, you know, as being a makeup artist and just allowing people to feel, you know, as their best self, feel beautiful about themselves,
feel confident.
I mean, that I think is so fulfilling. And to be able to give people that opportunity and then capture it, you know, is something that is so beautiful. And amazing. It's just really allowing people to, you know, feel like their best selves.
Yeah, feel like themselves, but a little bit better, right?
Exactly.
And just like, you know, look at their photos and say, damn, I looked
good. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I looked good that day.
Yes, that excitement, it's like, totally fine. It's okay. I was like, I told Elena, no swearing on our podcast, but damn, it's okay. So,
it is?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay.
Not to the extreme, but of course, you know, you get so excited. It's like,
I did.
Passionate about it. I love it. But yeah, when you feel that, when you empower others, I mean, even, you know, not through makeup, but, you know, I teach jujitsu, and it's like,
Making somebody feel stronger or smarter or more beautiful, it's like the best thing in the world.
That's what it's all about. It's so fulfilling. So you do, your website is beautiful.
I saw you
have so many beautiful portraits on there. But do you also do food photography?
No.
I thought I had seen something on there. Sorry,
that's okay.
I was like, I thought I had seen something on there with some food photos.
Oh, no. You may have seen. Okay, when you looked at my bio.
Okay, I was going
to
say, I swear
like
there was
food.
Something there. Yeah.
So on my bio, there were some little food photos of like, so my husband and I lived overseas in Dublin for two years. Yeah, and we traveled all around Europe and ate our way through.
Oh my gosh.
So you probably did see some photos that are professional photos of some of the food and stuff.
Okay,
that we ate.
No, but those looked amazing.
Oh, thank
I'm like, you.
You
should like think about that. Cause I was like, if you don't
so
do
funny.
That already, that's
no,
another like, niche
it
you
is.
Can go into, because it wasn't, I mean, I was like, this wasn't just a regular like food pic or, Instagram photo.
It was
photo.
A real picture.
It was a real picture.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my gosh, cause you know, I may need that in the future. Just a little.
You're
hint.
So funny.
But I was like, you should be doing that because they looked amazing.
Oh, thank you. You're sweet.
So I was like, that's something else you can think about adding.
People are my jam, but I can do it.
You know, for sure. No, you have to stick with your niche. But I was like, I know I saw food on there. And
oh yeah, that's why. And wine too, probably.
Yeah, but it was beautiful. It was beautifully done.
Thank you.
So you have grown up here. You've been in Chicago area.
I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay.
So I grew up in Michigan, and I actually moved to Chicago after grad school in 2006. I'm really aging myself.
Okay. Hey, no, yeah. we're the same age.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You're a little younger than I am, but
not much.
But you love being here.
I love being here. I love the city. There's always so much to do. And you can always be going out and doing something. The food is, like I said, I love to eat.
Yes.
So the food here is just amazing. And it's close enough to home that I can still have my parents visit as often.
Exactly. Yeah. Not too far.
Yeah.
That's perfect. So what are some of the, favorite moments? I mean, do you like... What are just some of the favorite moments in general that you've captured, I want to say?
Oh, like in life?
Like in life, just life moments of like photography. Because as we talked about, photography is one of those amazing things where it's like you can capture life's moments and then create, it creates memories for people.
For sure. I think that because I have shot quite a few weddings.
Yeah.
Shooting somebody's wedding is... like the most important special day of their life. And so you do create a lot of memories with that because that day goes by so fast.
Oh my gosh, so fast.
That, they look back through the photos and see that, they maybe forgot that this thing even happened or mm-hmm. that grandma was on the dance floor or, that Uncle Joe was doing something silly or
right.
Whatever. So I do think that there's a lot of fun in that. And as far as doing portraits and capturing that, you're just freezing a moment in time. Like if you're photographing a woman and it's she's pregnant, so it's her maternity shoot, or if you're doing a shoot for a woman who is turning 50, so she mm-hmm. just wanted to spoil herself, it's a milestone. So that's really exciting. And then sometimes what I'll do when I photograph is I'll bring in the families after I've pampered mom or uh-huh. daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just you create a lot of special memories, even just that day and creating that experience for them while they're there with you
right.
to feel great. And then they have photos of their family after that's, you can't replicate ever. So.
No, and I think weddings, is being part of that. I would agree that was one of the best things that I loved doing as a makeup artist and kind of focused on was doing a lot of weddings. But it's such a special day to be a part of. And it's always such a happy occasion.
Right.
But just making people feel beautiful and capturing those moments, especially, do you like to do more candid or more like kind of set photographs?
I do shoot a lot of candid photos, mm-hmm. but I do posing that looks natural.
Okay.
When it's like the couple together, but it's both. Mm-hmm. And then, like with the ceremony, it's just purely candid. You just kind of shoot it as it happens and sort of stay out of the way.
Right, exactly.
So I like to throw in a little bit of both. Usually mom and dad want some family formals, so we, take care of that too. But mm-hmm. yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. I always love the candid photos. I think they're the best. Just catching those moments that people don't even know are happening or having. I mean, I think as a photographer, it's just you have that eye of kind of watching and looking around the room and observing and, being able to see those little special snippets is, so cool. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for people who are maybe branding themselves or wanting to do family photos or even being able to utilize, their phone or some kind of equipment that would be good for them to have? Any kind of tips that are helpful for people to capture these memories?
Well, I think when people are trying to brand themselves, there are some really great apps out there that you can use to help you process your photos and like overlay text. There's one app in particular called Over.
Okay.
That can do so much. I think the upgraded version's like $99 for the year. But if you're mm-hmm. a business owner and you're going to be branding yourself, I think that's a well worth it investment.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of times when I tell people about that, they're like, oh no, I don't want to do that myself. And so that's when I say, well, that's something I can do for you in your business. But yeah, I think that's a great one.
Okay. I'll have to write that down over. Interesting. I always love like the resources. I mean, it's good. You know, it's like you have the expert here and it's like getting this information and knowledge that people can do a lot of these things, you know, on their own to some, you know, ability.
Right.
But having you obviously would ultimately be the best thing.
Right. And then also, this is kind of on topic as well, going, I do have some blog posts that I've written about like what to wear for a branding shoot. Like,
oh, yeah.
Getting ready, choosing your clothes, all that kind of stuff is on there. And I've been kind of slowly releasing the posts, but they're all in there and they're written.
Okay, awesome. Where so can people find that?
They can find that just at elenaboss.com/blog.
Okay, perfect.
But that's like, that is something that I do and walk my clients through completely so they're not on their own for that if they don't want to be. But I just put it out there so that people can prepare ahead of time because people always want to know, what can I do?
Like, absolutely.
Should I wax my lips? Should I have a fresh manicure? Like, you know, should I get a new hairstyle?
these are all the questions.
Yeah, all these questions. So I address those just so that people have a good idea of what to expect and how to prepare beforehand.
That's awesome. I mean, super helpful. And so that kind of brings me into, what services do you offer? I mean, so you do a lot of weddings, obviously, but you do a lot, or maybe not, but you're like, what is your main niche and like, how do your services kind of work?
The way that my services work, my main niche is definitely portraiture in the studio. And I say that I photograph phenomenal women and the people they love.
Love it.
So I do a lot of like glamour, but not glamour shots.
Modern
portraiture, I would say, of women, personal branding and headshots. And then I offer, like I said, we do styling and hair and makeup comes in. And then like family can come in too. And I've done mother or daughter, maternity, boudoir.
Oh, excellent. That's good to know.
I wouldn't say mostly female focused, but hey, females are.
But hey, that's the niche. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But that's really good too for the personal branding. And I'll make sure to put that in the description because I think a lot of people, you know, need help with that. And we all have our phones and we can all take selfies and pictures and things.
Right.
But when you are trying to build your brand, you do need to have some, you know, and professional photos in there. You know, so that's definitely something that's great to have you as a resource to be able to get some of that strategic planning in and have those pictures.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So where can people follow you on social media?
Okay. So to follow me on social media, on Instagram, it's just at Elena Boss.
Okay.
And then...
And that's one S.
One S. Yes. And then there's also a Face of Infertility Instagram, which is just at Face of Infertility.
Okay.
All lowercase, no underscores or anything, no spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Facebook, we're... under the same name. So Face of Infertility and Elena Boss Photography.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And definitely you guys want to make sure that you are following so you can stay tuned for the book that Elena created, showcasing all the women of infertility and sharing their stories because, you know, 10% of those profits do go towards the Life Foundation, which is just amazing that you collaborated with them and that you're so open about sharing your story. So thank you for that.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, this was great. And I want to be able to spread awareness. And that's why I love to have different guests on and have them share their stories. And everybody's so unique. But really being able to help others, like I said, is the main mission. So I appreciate you taking the time to come on and just be so open. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And you guys, as you know, any topics you want to hear, any questions you have, have, feel free to shoot me a message on my Facebook page at Gen Z and follow me on Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. And I appreciate you guys so much, all of you listeners out there, because without you, I couldn't do this. And if you guys love hearing the podcast, I would so appreciate you going onto iTunes and giving me a 5-star review and leaving your feedback. That's always appreciated. So thank you guys so much, and I will see you next week. Bye.